Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you listening later to this on the internet, you won't hear anything for about a minute. Dear Christian friends, he was likely handicapped from birth. Poor chap. He could see just fine, as good as any first century man could see without glasses, without contacts, without cataract surgery. Those weren't invented yet. But he who has ears couldn't hear. And he who had a tongue to sing couldn't speak. Not plainly, anyway. This text said he had a speech impediment. Those who can't hear from birth usually can't learn to speak plainly. So you see what I mean when I said he was handicapped from birth. Until Jesus came through the region of Tyre and Sidon and to the Decapolis and turned this tragedy into a triumph. The Lord stuck his fingers in the man's ears and after spitting, touched the man's tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said in Aramaic, "Ephatha," which means be opened. And the ears of the man were opened and the tongue was loosed and he began to speak plainly. What does this mean? Would it surprise you if I told you that the early church found spiritual meaning in this text? What it means for you and for your salvation? By the end of the 7th century, the word Ephatha began to find use in some baptismal rites. So that people who come as candidates to be baptized would also hear Ephatha, even if they could already hear, and even if they could already speak plainly, and even if they could see and have all five senses, they'd still hear Ephatha, be opened. To all those being baptized, it's not just for the physically deaf and mute. The implication is that we, when we are baptized, are the ones who are what? Handicapped from birth, spiritually speaking. We could not hear God by nature. We could not speak to God. And our tongues were silent to sing praise to His truth. We could not see God either, because Adam and Eve, in their original sin, caused all flesh to be blind to the sight of God. You recall the phrase, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil? Well, in this case, it's hear no God, see no God, speak no God. And remember, after the first sin, it wasn't Adam and Eve who went looking for God. It was God who went looking for Adam and Eve, who were hiding and later get kicked out, away from God's presence, so they can no longer see, hear, taste, touch the living God. They did not want to see God because they had broke the one law. They did not want to hear His voice. They were afraid. They did not want to talk to God because they had no excuse worthy to justify themselves before God. That's why it says in Romans chapter 3, 19 and 20, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and everyone held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Adam and Eve sinned and became accountable to God. We've sinned since day one, inheriting Adam's sin. Therefore, our ears, our mouth, our eyes stopped and held accountable to God. This is the devastating effect of sin. From the Garden of Eden until the time we hear Jesus say, Ephatha. And such were you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. What happened to the deaf man is what happened to you. You were once deaf. You were once a mute. You were once blind to God. But now you see by faith. You speak to Him in prayer. You hear His voice in God's Word and acknowledge His power and His grace of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you. He opened your ears through the gospel. He loosed your tongue through the gospel. He gave sight to your blind eyes through the gospel. Praise be to God for the gospel, the power of God. But you know, this text isn't just about you. This text is also about others. God is teaching us something in this text about His mission for real people with real physical challenges, those with physical deafness and blindness and speech impediments. What does the church, what do you have to do with these populations today? As Jesus' body here on earth, as His ambassadors, we are to care for those with physical and spiritual deafness and muteness and blindness. Physically, we translate the gospel into sign language. We put the message of the gospel into Braille. We help God's mission to all people so that they may know Him who called all out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We have a newsletter or two in our narthex about Lutheran mission to those who are blind, Lutheran mission to those who are deaf. I encourage you to stop by sometime and read it. See what they're doing. Maybe even find someone in this community and befriend them. Get to know them. Maybe learn a little sign language. After all, God's mission is not limited to those with five senses, or those just with four senses, or three senses, two senses, or even one sense. We could even conceive that God could communicate His saving message to those with zero senses. With God, all things are possible. After all, we were all senseless before God came to give us breath and life. Spiritually speaking, we were blind, deaf, and mute to God and His ways. Maybe we should trust a little more in God's power, His Ephatha. Be opened, O senseless one, lest we be the blind leading the blind. For God, through His Son Jesus, has been gracious to us. Share love with your neighbor in need so they can be opened to God's love. Be compassionate in deeds of love for people with less senses than you so that they might learn this saving truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you to Myrna for helping me with that. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.